Amen. Glad to see everyone here this evening. This is awesome. So tonight, I'm your pastor. No, I'm not. I'm just the leader of the worship, or not worship, Des does that. I'm just your leader. I have some extra bread out there in the foyer if anybody would like it. There's some bagels, some other things from Fruits of Harvest. We're trying to bring those over here so that when that expiration date gets close, that we don't have to throw it away. We don't like to throw that stuff away. And then there's another thing that we could use at Fruits of Harvest is we need men's shoes. We're in desperate need of, if you have some extra shoes, work boots, something size 9 to like 11 or something like that, but we just have quite a need here, at least recently, of people wanting shoes. So anyway, with that, let's get started. And I'm Howard. I'm one of the deacons here. And I'm just very blessed to be part of HBC and to be serving my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I get to deliver this God-inspired message to you this evening. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the ushers will be walking down the way here, passing out Bibles if you need one for this study. So please take one. Thanks, guys. Let me open in a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you will speak through me tonight and all those listening. Let me speak your truth in love to everyone. Holy Spirit, we need you. Thank you, Jesus, for the finished work on the cross. Your free gift of salvation is for everyone who will accept you. Yes, Jesus. Amen. My hope and prayer tonight is that you all have a takeaway moment from what God wants us to learn and understand from this study. And the other thing that's been interesting here, the last in your face, oh my gosh, makes it a little harder to see the notes here too. So anyway, all glory to be him. Hallelujah. With that said, I want you to know that I'll be using many different verses here tonight, and that'll go along with our main study. And these verses won't be up on the screen like Pastor Randy does, but I'll try to give you some time to either write them down or look them up as we go along. I've entitled our message, Do You Know Him? You can see that right there. Do You Know Him? And we'll be studying in 1 John 1, 1 through 4. And I believe John's purpose of this letter is that we may have fellowship, a personal relationship with God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that the Bible is inspired by God and it's his personal love letter to you. John begins with Jesus Christ as the center of that relationship. In the Gospel of John, Thertius is described as the disciple who Jesus loved. And it says John was leaning on Jesus' bosom. John had a closeness with Jesus, for he had that personal experience and a relationship with Jesus. Do you? Do I? Let's look and read 1 John 1 of what John wrote to us about this experience with Jesus. So if you would, please stand with me and open your Bibles to 1 John 1, 1 through 4. Don't have to, but okay, looks like we're ready. Let's begin. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bared witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And with these things, we write to you that your joy may be full. Thank you. Go ahead. You can be seated. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. As we start to look at these verses, let's consider first what John is telling us at the very start. That which was from the beginning. The beginning. John here is talking about what was before there was anything, the eternal one. He existed before all else, God the Creator, the source. We read this in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John here takes us back to an eternity past to meet the one which was from. The beginning in Genesis 1:1 tells us this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Moses here describes how it was from the beginning. John is describing his personal experience with Jesus. By this, he's showing to you and to me the importance of having a personal relationship with Jesus. So how are you doing tonight? Maybe you're struggling with this sin. Maybe I am. Maybe you're holding on to anger. Maybe I am. Maybe you're having a hard time forgiving. Maybe I am too. But Jesus wants all of us to surrender, to cry out, to trust him, that our joy may be full. Amen. Remember, our relationship with Jesus is everything. Do you know him? This study and topic reminds me of last weekend, Easter celebration. Wasn't that an epic celebration? Hallelujah, yes. That was an awesome event, celebrating Jesus. So many people, so much fellowship and worship. Can I get a hallelujah? Hallelujah. All right. For he is risen, amen. For we serve a living God. And I pray many hearts will continue to say yes to Jesus. Jesus Christ is Lord. He has ownership of us. We belong to him. And we need to have a fellowship with him. Hallelujah. This also reminds me that there's another awesome time of fellowship happening right here at church every Monday night at 6 p.m. But I really want to reach out to the men. Us men, we need to come together as men. In Proverbs 27:17, it says this, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." That means men sharpening men. I believe last year at men's retreat, that's what men do. Hoorah! So men, don't miss out on this blessing of worship, study, and most importantly, our time of fellowship as we study the book of James, sharpening men. So be there, guys. Be there. You won't. Jim does an awesome job over there. So as we continue now, you know, people, John probably would have used the term epic to describe the importance. You know, epic, evangelize, share with others, praise, give Jesus honor and glory, invitation, invite others to know Jesus, and celebrate, share the joy of the Lord with others. But do you know him? John tells us the importance of a relationship that is to know and experience Jesus Christ, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his strength, his beauty, and his love that he poured out on the cross, his free gift of salvation for all of us. Jesus died for our sins, not just a few sins, but all sin. And that, church, is a lot of sin. He rose from the grave. He conquered death. The tomb is empty. He is risen, church. We have victory in him. Hallelujah. Okay, let's get started. Let me pray again. Heavenly Father, I ask you to continue to be here with us, to add your blessing to the reading and studying of your holy name, or holy word here. And so, Lord, just give me the strength to keep this going. Give and take heart to whoever wants this. And so, Jesus, just thank you for this time. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Our title again is, Do You Know Him? A church? Well, do you? That's right. That's who. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. It's a pretty simple question, isn't it? But we make it so hard to answer that question. Many people, we just want our own way. Truly, don't see the need to give up sin. You know, you've heard it. I'm a good person. Why do I need this Jesus guy? My life is great. Well, if it's that great, then ask yourself this simple question. If you were to die right now, do you know with all certainty where you're going? For you don't, then you should be looking for the right answer. And that right answer is Jesus Christ. For he wants you to know him. For he wants you to have a personal relationship with him that will totally change your life. He wants you to draw near to him. He's so excited for you to get to know him. And he wants to know you too, personally, so you can experience his love. This is so very important, his love for us. Praise the Lord. In Romans 5:8, Paul tells us something special. But God demonstrated his love towards us, in while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And in 5, it says, For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive the abundance in mercy to all those who call upon you. And in Isaiah 28:23, we read, Give ear, hear my voice, listen, and hear my speech. Do you know him? So a question to you all, church, is this. Aren't these times of ours getting more evil, ickier, darker, and more confusing, and bewildering, with basically little hope? Well, aren't they? Aren't we in the need of a Savior now more than ever, church? That Savior is Jesus, who will lead us out of this mess into the loving arms of our Father. Now, it's so important as we see and live in these changing times of this world, in our neighborhoods, in our culture, in our families today. For it has turned darker and more evil than ever. TikTok, TikTok, people. The time is growing shorter day by day in this crazy mixed up world that is which God is allowing Satan to run amok everywhere. The stage is being set for the Lord's return when we'll meet him in the clouds, church. Can I get a hallelujah? In Proverbs 17:11a, we read, An evil man seeks only rebellion. No matter what we think, all we have to do is look around and shake our heads and see evil is out there. Let's look at Isaiah 5:20-21. It says, Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. So that's what we're seeing today. Not good. Very sad, isn't it? But just think how that hurts and breaks our Father's heart when he sees all this. It says in Romans 12:2, "And do not be this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And last, in John 3:17, John says this, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved." Well, do you know him? He wants to know you. Okay, now, let's really take a look inside 1 John 1:1 through 4. In this letter, John tells us which was what he has heard, seen, and touched, and how Jesus wants fellowship with us. Now, church, let's get started. I'm going to pray one more time because I've been around. So, Heavenly Father, again, thank you for that. People, one person comes away with something from here tonight. And we're so thankful, God. Just thank you. Thank you that I can be here. Thank you that I'm delivering this, your message. And let me read our verse again, for I've mentioned other verses throughout this point. So let us get back on track. So let's read and meditate on 1 John 1:1-4. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear that eternal life which the Father has manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." Amen. Well, church, do you know him? Let's take a look at our first verse. Again, I'm going to reread. "That which we have from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life." Can you grasp this, church? John was there with Jesus. He knew Jesus. We'll get into that more. But I mean, I have a tough time grasping that. Not a concept, it was real. These words John spoke to us. We generally try to make things harder to understand than what they really are. I know I do. Do you? This letter is interesting. When he wrote it, he doesn't seem to have any specific group, doesn't seem to have any one church in mind, doesn't really even say who he's addressed to. But what John is telling his readers is this: I knew him, Jesus, by name, and he knew me. I walked with him, Jesus. I traveled with Jesus. I ate with him, Jesus. I talked with him, Jesus. I heard him speak and teach all the disciples. And I saw him speak and teach to the multitude of crowds. So I believe it's safe to say John knew our Lord Jesus, knew who John was. But does Jesus know you? We must remember, church, in our lives, as it is written in 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." You could be thinking, well, what does that mean to me? I have good eyesight. And in Luke 11:28, we read this. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Now you're thinking, Howard, first you're telling us walk by faith. Now you're saying hear the, and last in Matthew 7:7, we read, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be open to you. Now you could really be confusing me. Walk by faith, hear the word, and now you're talking about knocking and it'll open? What? What are you talking about? Well, let's find some answers as we move along. You know, John had the honor to hear, see, and touch and learn from Jesus before his death and resurrection. In the first century, John wrote this when the early church was called the Way. But John also had faith in him because of what he heard and saw, not just because of his physical presence there. Let me read a commentary from Matthew Henry in his explanation of John 1. It's so simple. Plus, if we listen, it even explains our first verse here too. The plainest reason why the Son of God is called the Word seems to be that our words explain our mind to others. So was the Son of God sent in order to reveal the Father's mind to the world? So what John is saying, and others like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is this: that Christ proves that he is God, is Christ, his divine nature, his expedience from the beginning, He coexisted with the Father. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was not just an instrument, but an instrument sent here by our Heavenly Father. And without him, there was not anything made that was made, from the highest to the lowest of things. He is responsible for it all. Do you know him? He wants to know you. Let's move on to verse 2, as it says, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bared witness and declare to you that eternal life, which is with the Father and was manifested to us. John is writing this letter, the time of his life, from Ephesus, where he's living in his latter days. He's older now, but still very active in the church welfare and direction. Here John explains and bears witness to what he saw, an eyewitness to the Word, to the truth of his incarnation and the humility of Jesus. This shows that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh in his declaration of eternal life, which the Father demonstrated through his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's a free gift to all that believe in him, because it's only Jesus Christ and have salvation. In John 6:37-38, we read this: for all that the Father gives me, the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. Are you understanding what Jesus is saying here? Let me read from Luke 11:28. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Let's look at what Mark 8:35-36 says. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? These three verses tell us Jesus is the light of the world. Everything comes from him for all who believe. His eternal word, his true light shines. We know that darkness cannot comprehend this thought, that something so easy can give life. Do you know him? 1 Thessalonians 1, 5 and 6. For the gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. And in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, it says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. What these verses are saying is this, people. Believe in him, Jesus Christ. Don't look to this world for answers, period. You're not going to find any. Just believe in Jesus, and he will direct your path. Probably too simple, right? But remember, we're in a spiritual battle. Satan wants to distract us. Let's take a little look more. Let's look at some more facts about John. John and James, his older brother, were known to me, but Jesus gave them the name Sons of Thunder. John was known as one of the three most intimate associates of Jesus, along with Peter and James, as being eyewitness to and participating in Jesus' earthly ministry. And John was the last remaining disciple who had intimate contact, an eyewitness who was there for Jesus' earthly ministry, his death, his resurrection from the grave, and his ascension to heaven. Just proof of what John knew. For he knew what he was talking about. I would say yes. John gave us another example in his writings in John 20, 27. Then Jesus said to Thomas, look at my hands. Reach out your hands and put them into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Do you know him? Let's continue on with verse 3. That which we have heard, that which we have seen, declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. In Genesis 3:8, we learn God walked and had fellowship with them in the garden. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Pretty cool, isn't it? And he'll be walking with us again. We were created to know and love God. Having a personal relationship with Jesus is by far the most important decision you could ever make. Fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ is such a blessing, for we are the church. Let's look at what Mark 12:30 says. You say the Lord your God will, you shall love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your mind. And in John 13:34, he records what Jesus said. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Boy, we could sure use some of that out there today. You know what makes me think also of HBC here is our family fellowship feast that we have. That's an awesome time to get together, breaking bread, and growing in our relationship with Christ. You know, we have fellowship with one, blessings of answered prayers, share our struggles, and pray for one another. Thank you, Jesus. All glory goes to you, God. Then we get to add wonderful food from all the awesome cooks BC. And as our pastor would say, the meat of the subject, food. Gotta love our pastor. But Jesus is our true bread of life. Do you know him? You know what God said in Genesis 1:26a? Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. God put man in the charge of the Garden of Eden and gave him the responsibility of naming the animals and things. And we see that God knows that man needs with others, not just with the animals. I like how the ESV words it best in Genesis 18a. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. And our Lord God made woman so man wouldn't be alone, to give him fellowship. God desires for us in this same that we need him more than any other relationship. Do you know him? Charles Spurgeon wrote this. Some things are valued by you as keepsake, given by one you love and serve to Christ because his Father gave us to him. I think what Spurgeon was trying to tell us here, brothers and sisters, there are things that we value in life, but the most important keepsake is our relationship with God through his Son, Jesus. As we look at these things, which really don't have value, I like what is written, and many of you know this one, in Ecclesiastic 1:2. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. We must remember not to let things become the most important things in our life. Here's another definition of vanity I like. Something that is vain, producing no result. I believe what John is telling us is this, is that Jesus is the most important, precious thing that we could ever have in our lives. Because Jesus loves you, Jesus' love for you is complete. Amen. Even as sinners that we are, he still loves us. Wow, he still loves us. Really, God, you still love us? I'm such a filthy sinner. All the rest is vanity, for it can be empty, of no value, valueless, and will produce no results. The result we should desire is to have that true fellowship with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. So God placed that need in every one of us from the beginning, that we have a desire for fellowship. We weren't meant to be alone. Most importantly, he intended we have relationship with other people, but God wants that important relationship to be with him, period. Do you know him? You know, John probably wrote this letter around 80 or to 95 AD, so the first century. But what he was saying then is just as important as it is right here today. John is telling us the truth about having a relationship with Jesus and that it's personal, and he shows us how to have fellowship with God now and for all eternity. That's what we have to really be looking for, all eternity. John is telling us what God wants from us in the last half of verse 3, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truth is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This is John's purpose of this letter, that we have fellowship, a personal relationship with God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. So a quick question to you. So church, do you know him? Do I? Are we experiencing the fullness of Jesus in our life today? Are we, church? Do you have the hope and joy of having a personal relationship with him? My bride and I just celebrated 10 years. We have a blended family with many children and grandchildren. And being step-parents has not always been an easy thing for us. Early on, we chose intentionally to put Jesus at the center of our marriage, to place him first above each other, his first, and above other people, things, circumstances, feelings, and emotions. And yes, my friend, the good, the bad, and the ugly. He's there. You know what I'm talking about, husbands. When the enemy is in your camp and the spouse doesn't always look like that sweet, fun love with, right? It happens. But seriously, we need to remember, men, that we are the spiritual leaders in our families. We need to set the example of what would Jesus do. We are in a spiritual battle, church, and that the enemy would like nothing better for all of us to fail to give him honor and glory in our marriages and in our life. When we hit a bump in the road in our marriage, we try to quickly pray together, say we're sorry, to forgive, and remember we love each other. And in the good, the bad, and the ugly of times, God is good. Because it's all about Jesus. It's not about you or me. It's all about him. Do you know him? So what's stopping you? What's stopping you from knowing him? You know that list of stuff. So many little things. Well, I've got to go do this, or we've got to go here, or I've got my boat. I've got my side by side. We're going to go out and go play for a while. You know, that's all good. But what's stopping you? That's stuff. Remember what we talked about earlier. Something that is vain, empty, valueless, producing no result. Is that you? Is that me? We need to know and remember that nothing through Jesus Christ is vanity, empty, valueless, or lacking results. We're complete in him. We read in James 1:4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. He loves you and he loves me. That our life wouldn't be in vain or empty, because through him we have everything for this life. He loves us that much. Experience his love, brothers and sisters. Tick tock, tick tock. Time is growing shorter. day by day. What are you waiting for? Jesus is calling you. Here in our last verse 4, these things we write to you that your joy may be full. John really wants for your life, in fact, all our lives, to be filled with his joy so that you and me will have fullness of joy. In Psalm 16:11, we read this. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At yours forevermore. Do you know him? I liked what C.S. Lewis wrote. God cannot give us peace and happiness because there is no such thing. So John is writing here to us, his readers. That's you and me. So we'll know who's writing of this intimate knowledge of Christ by John's hearing, seeing, and touching Jesus. He wants to share his God-breathed scripture with us so we too will know him. The living word says in 1 Peter 1:8, you love him even though you have never seen him. Though you trust him, and even now are happy with inexplicable joy that comes from heaven itself. So we see disciples about this fullness of joy. He related this fullness of joy by only their abiding in him. In RSV, recorded what Jesus said. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, whatever you will, it shall be done for you. These things, in 11, and these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. In Psalms 91:2, it says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. How cool is that? Jesus is our refuge, our fortress, will not lead you wrong. And John 6:40, and this is the will of him who sent me, that anyone sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last days. Everlasting life. Everlasting life. We think of all our aches and pains and things that we deal with today in our bodies as we get older. We're going to have everlasting life. No more pain, no more suffering. None of this garbage. It'll be all wiped away. Hallelujah. Again, do you know him? Let's close out our study tonight with these last thoughts of 1 John 1 through 4. Identity of Jesus. He is our atonement for our sins. For Jesus was fully man and God who suffered, died, and rose to life. He paid it all in full on the cross. By his blood, we are forgiven, set free. When we place our faith and trust in him, and by this selfless act of Jesus on the cross, we have a true fellowship, a fellowship with God the Father and with Jesus for all that believe in him. Psalms 16:2, preserve me, O God, that in you I may put my trust. again my trust. That's such a hard thing today to think. You can't put your trust in a car, it's going to break down. You can't put your trust in a house, it's going to fall apart. There's so many things that we, you know, even placing our trust in a chair that you're sitting in, it could still fall apart on you. It happens. In 1 Corinthians 8:3, we read this. But if anyone loves God, with this is known by him, he knows who loves him. He knows. He knows your heart. And we see in Romans 6:4 this. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of his Father, even so, we should walk, there it is, in newness of life. In newness of life. I can't wait. I mean, yeah, hallelujah. We're walking in newness of life. This old body will be cast away. I would like to bring up a sermon that probably many of you have heard of. It's by Dr. S.M. Lockridge. And I'd like us to listen to the shorter version of it. That's My King. It's about 3 minutes long.
He's a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. And he is the Lord of lords. That's my king. Do you know him? No means of measure can define his limitless love. Well, he's enduring the storm. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially blessed. Do you know him? He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's a centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy and approved theology. Do you know him? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. And he delivers the captive. He defends the thief. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? My king is a king of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway, highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you, but he didn't describe him. He didn't describe him. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mouth. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. Yeah. He always has been, and he always will be. I'm from, and he'll have no success. You can't even beat him, and he's not going to resign.
That's a good video. And there's, he was a pastor back in the 60s, 62, somewhere in there. And he has another version. It's called The Greatest Sermon Ever Preached. That one's over 18 minutes. And then you can also listen to his full hour sermon. Look it up on YouTube. You won't be disappointed. The King of Kings will look. Anyway, a couple of closing thoughts to think about. First, I pray that this message spoke to you in some way, and that you know that Jesus loves you. Second, how gracious is our Lord God to freely give himself to die in our place so we can be redeemed back into a relationship with God, our Creator, and receive salvation through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. And third, lastly, he wants you to have a personal relationship with him. As Christians, do you walk in that newness of life? Do I? Remember, sin separated us from God. We're in a spiritual battle, people. The enemy, Satan, wants to believers in the church. Pastor Randy just did a teaching recently, Enemy at the Gate. Be careful, church. Brothers and sisters in Christ are not the enemy, but the enemy is trying to creep in to kill, steal, and destroy the church. Be watchful. We need to put Christ daily, for we are representatives of him. We are to put on the full armor of God. You can read all about in Ephesians 6 through 18. Here's verse 11. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so in closing, I want to ask you this question. Where's your heart tonight? Do you know him? If you don't, why not? For you want to know him as your Lord and Savior. Again, ask yourself this simple question. If you were to die right now, do you know with all certainty where you're going? It's either have a twain. So in John 11, 25, 26, Jesus said, I'm the resurrection, the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives, believes in me, shall never die. Do you believe this? There's no do-overs, church. So if you don't know for sure, then remember some of the scriptures we talked all about Jesus Christ. Make him your Lord and Savior. I pray if you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart, that's a great thing. Then listen and accept Jesus if you haven't. Or if you're feeling a call for a recommitment tonight, off this decision, church. This is the most important decision that you'll ever make. Where are you going to spend eternity? Jesus died for our sins, yours and mine, according to the scriptures, on the cross, spilled his blood for us, died, buried, and rose again on the third day. Here's how easy it is, people. The gospel of Jesus Christ. First, admit you're a sinner. Romans 3:23, we all have sinned and fallen short. The glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Second, believe Jesus Christ is Lord. Confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And third, call upon his name. Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that easy. Just surrender your heart. Not right here. Maybe at home. Maybe, you know, if you're watching online. Anywhere. Jesus will take, he will listen to you. It could be in your bedroom. It could be driving in the car. It could be anywhere. He wants to know you. Can I get an amen, church?
Amen.
So if you made this decision for Jesus tonight, or if you're recommitting to him, or just need prayer, then talk to one of the pastors or one of the deacons. They can pray for you. Just ask Jesus into your heart. He'll do the rest. It's just that easy. Because he wants to know you. Amen. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray that this message spoke to somebody tonight, somewhere, someplace, and that your words are milling around in their head, but in their heart, they're feeling that tug. They want to know you, but they don't know how, Lord. But just release them. Just let them know that all they have to do is say, I want to know you. I want to know you, Jesus. Let their life become simple and easy. It's so complex out there in this world. But Jesus, you make it so simple for all of us. And Lord God, I just want to thank you for this time. And as we close, we have a couple of deacons up here that if you need prayer or recommitment or you want to give your life to Jesus tonight, please come forward and do that. You'll never be sorry. So God, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. And thank you for your message. And your word always rings true. In Jesus' name, amen.